The next case today is Jose R. Hernandez v. Richard M. Shove, appeal number 22-9005. At this time, Mr. Earhart, please introduce yourself on the record to begin.
Hello, Your Honors. James Earhart, on behalf of Richard Shove, the appellant petitioner, if it please the court. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes, if I may, for rebuttal.
You may have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Your Honors, this case at its foundation is asking the court to, in essence, vacate the bankruptcy court's denial of discharge of Mr. Shove on the 727A3 and A4. It also allows the court to revisit its Simmons precedent and maybe put some guardrails on it. It also asks the court to review the due process violations that occurred against Mr. Shove at the trial. Let me begin with the due process issues. Well, actually, let me go with 727A3A4. The court denied the discharge under A4 because...
Excuse me, counsel, before you get to that,
yes.
Am I correct that if we were to affirm either the A3 or the A4 finding, that ends the matter? We don't have to affirm both in order for the petitioner to lose?
That is correct, Your Honor. A3 or A4. In essence, okay. I think you're referencing the BAP's opinion that it took A3, so it didn't have to get to A4.
Mm-hmm.
So let me begin with the A3 then. The bankruptcy court did A3 and A4, and the BAP allowed it under A3 only. And in doing the A3 decision, the court made the determination that it didn't have to examine the due process rights. I think the BAP is incorrect on A3. It stated that, in affirming Judge Katz, the bankruptcy court, that Mr. Shove failed to provide, let's call them post-fire records. As the record shows, Mr. Shove had, throughout his life, owned a number of rental properties. But as we got close to the bankruptcy, most of them were in receivership or foreclosure. I believe when at the eve of bankruptcy, he had 9 properties, and I believe only 2 or 3 were still receiving rents. The others were in foreclosure or receivership.
What were the record-keeping practices before the fire and then after the fire, and were they different?
As the record indicates, prior to the fire, a few years prior to the fire, when they had a number of rental properties, they kept bills, utility bills, and so on in boxes. And on occasion, as I recall, the record stated, they would take receipts for rent rolls. But there was, as far as I recall, no specific rundown of each property and receipts to attach to them. A fire occurred, which Judge Katz conceded in her order. It destroyed most of the records, and he could not be denied discharge for that because it was, you know, simply out of his control. For about 2 years after the fire, he did collect rents. But it's not disputed that he only had maybe 2 or 3 properties with only a small number of units. He was like a guy in Worcester with a triple deck or maybe 6 units. And he did not keep rental receipts for that. The one witness brought in by...
5 minutes remaining.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Is your argument that the abandonment of the practice of keeping documents is entirely reasonable, and that the bankruptcy judge who rejected that idea is reasonable because the number of properties had declined?
Absolutely, Your Honor. If you have 3 or 4 units
okay,
left...
Okay, why is that sensible? IRS reporting requirements, you still have property depreciation.
It's comparable, Your Honor, and that's really what the crux of the A3 question is. If you have 3 or 4 units collecting rents and you're not keeping receipts for those rent rolls, is that failure to keep those rent roll receipts a non-dischargeable event?
But this isn't simply a failure to keep rent roll receipts. This is a failure to keep any meaningful records. If a property owner doesn't keep rental receipts, but keeps detailed records of what rent has been received, the way a normal landlord would. You know, I don't think the bankruptcy court or any court would have a problem.
And as I believe the record shows from Mr. Shove's testimony, and I believe it's not a dispute, Mr. Shove provided a ledger of activity on those rental properties. The only thing he didn't have was actual receipts. But even as I think the BAP mentions in its opinion, and the First Circuit's precedent, a small farmer or an individual with a business which is open for a month at Christmas time isn't necessarily, you know, required to keep that kind of rent roll. The fact is, on the eve of Mr. Shove's bankruptcy, in the about a year and a half before that, he was an individual that happened to have three or four units. And the argument that he has to have a rent receipt for each of them is simply not incorrect, nor does the precedent show that. If this court is to uphold Judge Katz's decision that under A3 the debtor can be denied a discharge because he didn't have receipts for three or four units on a year and a half before bankruptcy, then any innocent debtor is exposed to non-dischargeability here.
Excuse me.
Yes, Your Honor.
I don't quite understand the argument. There is a suggestion that his failure to keep a complete set of records is in and of itself unreasonable. But once the fire destroyed the documents, that was not held against you.
It was not.
Okay. So now, if I understood what you just said, he had kept records as to the three or four units he owned prior to the fire, but then he changed his practice and didn't keep any records after the fire. So when did he reduce the property to three or four units?
Your Honor, I don't believe the record shows that he kept a precise rent-to-rent month-to-month.
You are missing entirely my question.
At what point did he change?
You made the argument that this should all be excused because he moved from owning a number of properties only to owning a few, albeit they could be multi-apartment properties. I'm asking you, when did that reduction take place? Before the fire or after the fire?
I believe, Your Honor, and I'm not sure the record says this, but after the fire, his financial situation deteriorated rapidly. And it was actually going on, you know, before the fire occurred, where there was 9 units that he owned, but I believe except for 2 of the units, maybe 2 or 3, they were in foreclosure receivership, so therefore they were no longer performing.
When you say units, you mean buildings?
I actually mean actual apartments, Your Honor. I mean, actual.
In other words, when you say 2 or 3 units, he only owned a total of 2 or 3 apartments.
I believe the record shows it may have been 3 or 4, Your Honor. And if I'm incorrect, but it was very few. It was very few. So when we say units, we're not talking some like a 20 unit building, a 30 unit building. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking small residential properties up in the Berkshires, Your Honor, up in Lee Lenox.
At some point after the fire, the 9 apartments, you're saying the record shows it gets reduced to 2 or 3 apartments?
It becomes, there are only income-producing few apartments left, meaning that...
Okay, so he had others even if they're in foreclosure, why don't you keep records?
Because, as I believe the record shows, they weren't income produced and he wasn't collecting many rents for them. So by the time he's on the eve of bankruptcy, he's not collecting a lot of rents. He's simply not collecting a lot of rents. There's a factual change here. Often now he owns a lot of units, he's making real estate, and as the years pass, the real estate starts to fall in, he's losing properties to foreclosure or receivership. In the period of time prior to the bankruptcy, he has almost very few income-producing units.
Okay, thank you. You've answered the question.
Right. And that's the fundamental issue here. If you take the record, this is a man who had very few rental apartment units that he's earning income from. If you're correct,
I want to ask you a totally different question.
Sure.
Do any of your arguments related to the surprise and sanctions for failure to disclose evidence relate to this the 727A3 denial, or do you agree that they all relate to the A4 denial?
And I thought about myself, Your Honor, before the hearing. I think it all relates to A4 generally, you know, the Polk County deed,
the E-Trade account.
Right. The issue of the rent rolls, I mean, the trustee was on the stand, and even Mr. Shaw was on the stand. He testified how he walked to the department units with the trustee, and they met with the tenants. And one tenant was on the stand that we didn't put on. It was the only tenant that put on the stand who testified Mr. Shub didn't give us receipts. He gave the tenant something for proof he received a receipt, he paid, but he didn't keep one himself. And I think it's under the Simmons standard, it has to be under the circumstances and the context of the time. In the Simmons case, which I handled, by the way, he had 27 units. Five of them he only reported as taxes. This is apples to oranges. This is an individual at the time of bankruptcy in the year or so preceding only had a few number of actual apartments collecting rents. And the bankruptcy court denied him a discharge because didn't have records to support these rent rolls. I think if you ask anyone who owns a 6-unit in Southie, they don't necessarily keep receipts of every rent they receive. But he did provide a ledger according to the record saying, here's my units, this is the rent I collected. What more can an individual do? If I look at Judge Katz's decision, you have to have an actual receipt to show each rent collected. Most people don't do that. They may keep a ledger or they may keep nothing. If you've got 4 units, it's pretty easy to reconstruct what you earn for income. If the court allows this to stand, this decision, what it's done is taken Simmons and put it on steroids. Simmons, it was and the commission thinking we put it documents. In this case, still there, Your Honor?
Yeah, sorry, you broke up for about 30 right. seconds.
So in this case, Your Honor, the facts are fundamentally different. This is an individual who had far less than Simmons, rental income-producing apartments, not the apartments. And he was denied a discharge. And even Judge Katz said the fire did not play a factor here. She said these things.
I believe you're over time. I'm sorry. I think Mr. Toomey, we couldn't hear him, but you are over time. You have 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, Mr. Earhart, please mute your audio and video.
Yeah.
And Attorney Spinola, at this time, if you could unmute and introduce yourself on the record to begin your response.
Good morning. My name is Cynthia Spinola. I represent the appellee, Jose Hernandez. May it please the court. My brief very thoroughly and I believe thoughtfully addressed some of the issues that were raised by the defendant's appeal in his brief. I'd like to address the issue of, of course, this is a clear error standard of review, absent legal error. Decision in Great Island Condos held that where there is no error of law, that is a formidable standard to overcome. And I would submit that the findings of fact, as articulated in her 40-page brief, and decision clearly support that this decision should stand. There was no error of law, and the facts were found thoughtfully. I'd like to address the issue of appeal has been addressed carefully in my brief, and I would submit that the counsel for the defendant has misrepresented to the court that there was a so-called ledger provided by the defendant to the trustee upon the trustee's request. In fact, there was no ledger. What he provided in Exhibit 45 was a statement over a one-year period for each apartment, what he hoped, anticipated, aspired to receive for each of the units. He never once provided any contemporaneous record or even later developed record of what his income was from the units. Moreover, because of that problem, the trustee asked the defendant to provide and to file his 2017 tax records and to provide the 2016 tax records. He did that. The tax records were of no help to the trustee in determining the financial circumstances of this defendant because they were based upon so-called worksheets of what the defendant provided his tax preparer. He is not a CPA. This Mr. Hofnagel was not a CPA. Mr. Shove gave a handwritten form stating what his income and expenses were. There was never a review of any business records or apartment records. Moreover, the defendant absolutely failed to produce any contemporaneous record of his financial affairs, either his personal or his business affairs. I'd like to address the motion to dismiss issue. Rule 15 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure apply to the bankruptcy proceedings, adversary proceedings. At the time that Mr. Show, the defendant, was confronted with the Polk County records, the procedural setting was that I had called him on direct. He, during his cross, denied having any other properties. And on my redirect, I inquired about the Polk County property. Now, we're talking about the 727A4A matter. He, all of a sudden remembered that he had it, had forgotten all about it. Of course, the judge didn't believe that he really forgot about it because he actually paid taxes on that property 1 year after filing for bankruptcy. He never disclosed the existence of that property. The defendant's attorney never objected to the production of that Polk County deed that, as a matter of fact, I found upon a review of 500 pages of his banking records, I found payments to the Polk County tax collector and followed that through and found the deed. Never objected on any basis. The so-called failure to produce this Rule 37 basis for finding that his request that it's be found that he his due process rights were somehow violated here. It makes no sense. He never objected. He also never objected on the basis of it failing to comply or be consistent with the pleadings in this case. Rule 15 states, the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure state that where a matter is tried with the consent, either implied or so stated, of the parties, it must be treated in all respects as if it was raised in the pleadings. In particular, Rule 15b2 states, when an issue not raised by the pleadings is tried by the parties, express or implied consent, it must be treated in all respects as if raised in the pleadings.
4 minutes remaining.
So I would submit that the bankruptcy judges, Judge Katz's finding under 727A4A should also be affirmed in this case because I would submit that the pleading was adequate, was sufficient under Rule 9. I believe that I would submit that it was adequately pled. But the defendant had an opportunity when confronted with the issues under 727A4 to object on the basis of it failing to be consistent with the pleadings, and he failed to do that. I would submit that the decision was thoughtful, that the, as I said, 40 pages long, followed a 5-day trial, 7 witnesses, and 90 exhibits. All of the exhibits were exhibits to which the defendant agreed. These were in our joint pretrial memo. We agreed that all of the banking records were admissible. We agreed that the so-called ledger were going to be admissible. And so all the defendant really has a basis to be concerned about or to object to is that he wanted me to disclose to him what my line of cross-examination was going to be. I went through those records. I found that the basis for his misrepresentations to the court and to the trustee, and again, that it was all in evidence. There was no violation of either a discovery rule or any rule of evidence during the course of the trial. And I would request that you affirm the decision of the bankruptcy Judge Katz, dated May 10, 2021. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, Attorney Earhart has a two-minute rebuttal. Attorney Spinola, if you could mute your camera and your audio. And Attorney Spinola, reintroduce yourself on the record to begin.
Hello, Your Honor, James Earhart on the record again.
Briefly, in terms of the ledger, was that kept contemporaneously or was that created later and after the fact to help the trustee?
I looked at my brief and it said, Richard had personal knowledge and prepared a ledger upon request, substantiated by tax returns and corroboration from the tenants of the trustee. So I believe that ledger was prepared upon request of the trustee after, and was not contemporaneous.
Okay, thank you.
And on page 19 of the brief, we discuss how the trustee's testimony about how he walked to the two properties with the debtor, talked to the tenants, and so there's only two properties involved, and there wasn't much rent roll. And that's the fundamental truth. There wasn't much rent roll. And therefore, when you have de minimis income coming from de minimis number of properties, you shouldn't be denied a discharge on $1.7 million in debt. If you have almost no income from these properties, yes, years ago he did. But as the bankruptcy came forward and the year progressed, there wasn't. I'm not sure you get to the A4, because if you get past, I think A4 has been briefed up. Certain things my sister counsel said is just Polk County, that was not something we agreed to. It was shown to us when the witness was put in the stand. The E-Trade documentation wasn't the pretrial memorandum. It wasn't listed in the exhibit. So
Was Ms. Spinola right when she said that when the Polk County was brought up at the hearing and the cross-examination about it occurred, that there was no objection?
Your Honor, we had a vigorous objection. Indeed, if you look on page 14...
So you objected to the use of the Polk County banking records, indeed?
As Your Honor, as I recall, we vigorously objected.
Well, as you recall, you either did or you didn't.
Yes, I believe, Your Honor, we did. I believe we did, okay. Yes. Indeed, there's on page 914, we talk about a colloquy that Judge had with Ms. Spinola, where she says, why wasn't this all done before the discovery deadline? And then she goes to Ms. Spinola, well, then ask for more time or something. This is crazy, but go ahead. So we had brought up to the judge repeatedly subpoenas to witnesses
That's
before the
time.
Trial. Documents I've never seen before. So fundamentally, if I make a quick last sentence, to get to A4, you got to get past A3. And the record shows he only had a few number of rental-producing properties. And if we allow denial of discharge, any man who's got a triple-decker who doesn't keep track of rents for a year could be denied a discharge. And that's what this is about. This is taking Simmons on steroids. Thank you, Honors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes arguments for today. This session of the Honorable...
Do I not have a rebuttal?
Oh.
No.
No.